So we move on to our next presentation, which is from this year's State Teacher of the Year. So I would ask Ms. Shelby Forst if you would like to come, and if you want to sit, you can sit. You don't have to stand.
Oh, I'm used to standing all day. I don't think I did that.
I can appreciate that. Well, it
Thank you
is
so
our
much.
pleasure to welcome you here and congratulations. And so we're eager to hear your ideas.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Vice President, for appreciating the invitation as well. And thank you to the board for inviting me and tonight to speak about my journey so far and my platform. I really do appreciate it. Part of that is I had a mini existential crisis when I turned 30 last year. I truly did not think I was going to even make it to 30. In my youth, I struggled with my own mental health. In my adolescence, I lost quite a few very young, very brilliant, very beautiful people to cancer, same for our students. And in my adulthood, I took care of my father, who was struggling deeply after divorce. And so when I made it to 30, I didn't think I could even make it that far, let alone on this floor in front of you today. So I do very much thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. I wanted to share a little bit about my journey. The photos in front of you are where I was named the William Penn. So I served over 2,200 students at William Penn High School in Colonial School District in New Castle County. And my students are there behind me celebrating as I was named the William Penn Teacher of the Year from last year. And again, when I was named for the district for the first time in front of graduation practice. So I got to see the excitement on all of my students' faces as I was named for the district. So I was grateful for the certificate, let alone the balloons. So I was very happy to be a part of that journey. Thank you. Perfect timing. Amazing. Thank you. So let alone you can imagine the shock upon my face when I was named as Delaware's 2025 State Teacher of the Year in front of my father, who's doing much better for himself now. You see him right next to me. He actually took his last bit of money to buy a plane ticket to Hawaii, where he is a boat mechanic. And now works on planes as well. And he flew that night from Hawaii to be with me in that moment. And I had clearly no idea. So it was a very meaningful moment for me. Since then, I've gotten to venture out quite a bit. I've gotten to meet some amazing educators in California. We went to San Jose, California as part of the National Teacher Orientation. And I got to go to the Google campus in San Jose, which is amazing. And even more so, I got to meet my cohort of other incredible, brilliant educators of the year and their states and their locations. So this is all, I think there's 56 of us in the states and also the territories. And so I could not describe to you the feeling of being in that moment with other amazing educators who believe in our students, who believe in their brilliance, and who do everything they can to push that forward with our agenda, whether that's the school building or classrooms at the state boards. So it was, I tried to explain it to some of my colleagues. They said, "So it's kind of like an educational utopia." Yeah, these are the students are missing, right? So it was an amazing experience. Since I got back, I was able to speak. It was my first keynote. They don't teach you how to be a keynote speaker as part of our education programs. We talk to teenagers all day, right? So I was my first keynote speech was at the Delaware Educators Rising Conference, where my students actually placed third place in public speaking and children's literature, where my students actually wrote in their primary language. So they wrote a Spanish story for it was a children's book about how this person was judged for their primary language and how they spoke and how they came across and the process of learning English as part of their journey. So I was very proud of them there. Next slide. You'll see the other former Delaware State Teachers of the Year that I was privileged enough to meet over a slice of Brado's pizza. And funnily enough, fun fact, the founder of Brado's was actually an educator at one time. I also got, I was privileged enough to meet Secretary of Ed, Ben Martin, who we all got to meet tonight as well. And I've had several interviews through DDOE and DSEA, my union, in order to kind of spread the word and highlight the amazing stories and experiences of my students. My district, of course, is taking advantage of, hey, we have a student, nearly every professional development opportunity that we have. And so I've gotten to voice, I've had two so far, one on centering students, and the other was called Hate Has No Home Here, focusing on our LGBTQIA community within our high schools, and how we can create inclusive spaces for our students. And also, speaking of a student board member, this is our student board member in the Colonial School District, Lagoon. And we fought really hard to have her voice as part of this as well. But I was able to spend quite a few nights with our board of educations. And last but not least, I want to share that I'm so proud that I still get to teach in this moment. I was so worried, I met other educators, that they were put on sabbatical for the year, and they were pulled out of their classroom almost immediately as they were named. And I could not imagine leaving my children in that moment. And so I included our garage band and many of our students attended the Queen in Wilmington, where they performed for several hours, two different sets, the first time ever. We had such a large turnout. We had a small room first. They had to move over into the big room last minute. And I got to see the Lily Blonde, where we have a musical at our school. So I still get to teach. I still get to be part of this experience with my students. And that is something that I want to hang on to so badly. So it has been an honor to be serving them at this level at the same time that I'm serving them at my home. So what's next for me? I have quite a few things, and this is just my schedule for April and May. So it's been quite an adventure so far. I feel like it comes in waves, but I'm so honored to have the sort of responsibilities. So here is our my platform. I call it my year of bravery because, like we said, they don't teach you how to be a public speaker here. So I'm doing my best, as my students always do. And my students are always so incredibly brave in their spaces. I started my journey with Brave Spaces, my first year, where I learned that as a white young woman and as a cisgender woman, I had a lot to learn from my students. I did not always look like them. I did not speak like them. I did not walk like them. I might not have had the same experiences as them. And so I had a lot to learn from them and their experiences and their stories. And so I began centering my students in the best ways that I could. It started small, writing down little quotes that they would say, or posting their thank yous on my board, putting grounding techniques and little rules for our classroom. You'll see on the bottom, I have just post-it notes of their ideas. That was just our brainstorm. That was brilliant. And even one, I found on a walk on Saturday with my husband, this rickety, crackled, baby blue Old Spice wrap, so free on the side of the road. And I said, I can make this a bookshelf. And so what I had my students do, I asked them, hey, do you feel in my study hall? I wanted to put their minds to work and see what they could create from it. And this is our current work in progress for my study hall students. So these are just small ways that we can center student voice and experience and learn from them and center them in their space, to allow them to feel ownership of their learning and what they are doing in the classroom. I have some, the very first day, I give them a sheet of paper. It's a blank sheet, just like every single day is, and just like all of our students are when they first start out. And I give them a blank sheet, and I say, here, please, I want to learn their names. Your names are so incredibly important to me. please, whatever you'd like me to refer to you as, right? Whatever your preferred name is, or however, whatever nickname you want, right? So you see aunt there for me. And so you'll see anything that makes you you, I want you to put on that paper. Anything, patterns, colors, designs, your jersey number, so I know where to find you when I go out to the games. So I know how to refer to you. I know who you are, right, from day one. And I have them place it on our wall. And so I couldn't get all of the names I tried with us, but we make an entire name wall in the back, and they get to hang it up so that every day they feel an ownership of their space. Every single day, they walk in and they see their name, their identity, their place, right, on the wall behind them. And so that is incredibly important to me, is that this is a space that is yours just as it is mine. It is not my classroom. It is our community that we are building together. This refers to a quote that my student has written down in our daily check-ins with our students and empowering them and making them feel like this is their space. I remember Michael, he was so concerned because I frankly was searching for an index card in our conversation, and what he had said just blew me away. He said, just because I am useful doesn't mean I don't have wisdom. And it really spoke to me about my platform and how I want to ensure that my students feel that they are part of something larger than just this one moment in this one space, right? Defining who you are in every single moment and seeing those words. I sent a picture, this picture to him. He is a current second year student at Delaware State University. And we went to an open house over the weekend and he visited. He heard I was on campus and he walked right over. He ran right over actually before the doors locked and closed, right? Our students are incredibly important, and allowing them the space to be heard and to feel seen is incredibly important. Here is my student Drew. She is one of the bravest souls that I know, and I last minute pivoted on this point because I wanted you all to meet her. I was really trying to get her here with me tonight, but she is currently speaking somewhere else, and she has quite a busy schedule as well. So this is Drew. I have urged Drew for about 2 years now to use her voice, and she has. She's really broken out of her shell. She is essentially the rock for our classrooms. She is our student voice. She is our somebody's, you know, best friend. She is the person that people go to that they rely on. And she is really on the core of what this means for us. I, among others, planted the seed in her heart as a queer woman of color that she should use this voice to make change for herself, but also to make change for others. So others are coming to her and she's kind of absorbing like a sponge. How can we take their stories and your experiences and make real change, make positive change towards our education? She is currently in a course that looks at the historical roots of educational inequality. She's embraced philosophies that guide us towards a more equitable future. She's enrolled in a social justice course, taking interest in her early childhood education, and was nominated to be an opening keynote speaker by the Rodell Foundation of Delaware to speak on the essential roles of educators of color in our schools. Now, Drew is impressive. Me, I asked her the other day, I said, I am doing, have to present for the state board, and I'm nervous. She goes, what are you nervous for? So I explained what this presentation was and what it meant to me. And she goes, don't miss. She got this. I said, okay, well, that's fine and good, but I want them to see my space. I want them to see what you all have created. I want them to see our community and experience it for themselves since I'm traveling so far. And she goes, well, all right, well, how can we do that? How can we do that? And I had asked her, I said, well, I really wanted pictures. I don't even have my phone on me. I'm a terrible photo taker. And I just kind of live in the moment. And she said, oh, you can do that. Do that. Okay. Great. Can you take a couple photos by Friday? I really need them. I want to put them in my presentation. She said, okay. Are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm sure. Got it. Send them to I reassured her, I would love to have them. We could even borrow Mr. Zelenko's camera if we needed to. She goes, oh, don't worry about it. I said, okay, thanks so much. And she gives me thus. She goes, hey, Nick. Mr. Right. She comes in the next day with a camera. It's sleek. It's silver. It's old. It's like 2006. Right? Like, my family owned this a while ago. Right? And so it doesn't seem like too far, but a camera, right? I'm impressed it held up. And so I'm looking at this camera, her wrist, it's across her wrist, and she's holding it tight, and I overhear her say to her friend, she says, oh, this was my dad's. And so after I asked her, I said, oh, true, this is your dad's. She goes, yeah, this was the last thing that he gave me before he passed away. It has not left my room until this moment right now. And so in that moment, I took a step back. I didn't know. And she was brave enough that whole night before to clean off the camera, to take it out of where she had it, to reminisce and take that camera in that moment. She put it back in her case, and she took it to school in our space the next. She was brave enough to do that. She felt empowered enough to be in that space with that camera that meant so much to her. And I'm happy to say that she has provided every single photo that you see on here today. Our students are brave. And it means so much to us when we find moments like this where Drew can thrive. Where Alyssa, the second photo over, Alyssa with the brown shirt next to Drew, Alyssa is going to be a pilot someday. She takes Saturday classes on top of her other courses and her after-school classes in order to take pilot courses on Saturday mornings. She updates me every Monday. My students on the left-hand side writing children's books in their own language to relate to people. They feel empowered to get up on the stage in front of judges and place third. My student in that lower left-hand side, when I had asked, hey, Ethan, is it okay if I use your photo? They've taken a really great one of us. His face lights up. He goes, does that seem my mom's going to see it? This isn't being recorded by my neighborhood. And it was up there for 2 months. And last but not least, JL. JL has never written a poem. So when we had a poetry slam about Free Aries, Pedagogy of the Oppressed, Chapter 3 on dialogue and how it relates to the banking model of education, she can't. She said, are you sure? Are we all? Cheers. Snaps everyone, right? Our students are amazing. They are brilliant. They are brave. They are leaders. And it is so important to create spaces like that and create spaces where teachers feel comfortable and safe and empowered enough to make those spaces for our students. And so I encourage you to look for and center your brave every single day. Our students, we are privileged enough to be in learning spaces with the brightest minds, the sweetest personalities, and the most charismatic people. Coming from all walks of life, our students deserve to be celebrated in spaces of progress and opportunity, where their work, their desires, and their identities are at the forefront of our work. I also wanted to remind you all, any educators, parents, board members, that you are brave too. And it is incredibly difficult in our current climate to sometimes be brave. And so I wanted to encourage you to be brave because we create profound opportunities for student learning. We build positive relationships that impact our children far beyond the classroom walls. And however your bravery shows up, I hope you feel empowered to share that story with her colleagues, with her children, with our students, and with our families. Thank you so much for listening and for learning. Colonial School District, for the first time ever in Colonial School District history, they are inviting a teacher to speak at graduation.
That's amazing.
And I know why. You're a great speaker.
Oh,
you have to believe in yourself.
Thank you.
You should be. You did a great job.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
I have it in my calendar. They said, make sure you're free. Your calendar looks crazy. So I have it circled like three times. It is an honor to be part of this experience, everyone, until then.
Oh my gosh, I'm sure you're going to feel it. I have two things to tell you. I want to thank you for sharing Drew's story.
Yeah.
But more so for believing in her and for understanding the power of that camera and what it took for her to use that camera. That's and I'm not sure that everybody would have gotten that. So I appreciate that. Thank you. Also, let's talk afterwards. I have another speaking engagement. Thank you. Thank you. And congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I simply want to say also thank you. What you exemplified to me in your presentation and the way you connect with your students is what I believe is the unteachable characteristic of an educator, which is the passion for the call. And I think that, in addition, of course, to all of the technical things that go into teaching, is really the thing that makes an impact on the students. That they were, I'm the son of two high school teachers who I know have been retired for more decades than either of them. My father has passed, but that they would care to mention, and their students now who are older than I, so they're in their 60s, still talk about the impact that someone seeing them and having a passion for making sure that they accept what it meant to them for the rest of their life. So I just want to say thank you again for the work you're doing and keep doing
it. If I may, put my former principal hat on, the one also we work with the NDSC here. And you said something very small that caught my attention. When one of your students said, kick it. Right. And so oftentimes they're so willing to let kids speak, but they have to speak to us the way that we want to hear it. And I just wanted to bring this that you let them say. Because students now come to us as their authentic selves. And so I just appreciated hearing you accepting them and being themselves as well. So keep doing what you're doing. We need more of you. And so I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Just a comment. I'm gonna put my entrepreneurship hat on. Are you monetizing these opportunities?
You might have an agent.
So I can be.
Yeah, I got a sign in there, I guess. I'm just thinking about the opportunity that's part of the platform that you have been elevated.
Yes.
And not only just for you, because we know teachers are not, you know, being compensated at their worth, but perhaps the opportunity to take those resources and give them, reinvest them back into the classroom and the students. I think that this is another dynamic to your elevation. So you do what you do well, but we should look at how we monetize and we compensate and recognize the value of it. Because what you have is lived experience. Now you're going and sharing that on another platform. And that's for value. You're not, excuse me, it's invaluable.
Well, Shelby, we've already brainstormed and we've got a commitment for you next year as well. Having just attended the Women Leading Education in Delaware conference, that's what I wanted to talk about. I think you would be an outstanding, outstanding speaker. And by the way, we as state board want to recognize you as well. Oh, thank you. It's for you, the order of the excellence. And you are indeed excellent. Don't sell yourself short. You're a great speaker. So, no.
And 1, 2, 3, and another five, one.
Next on the agenda are the charter school updates. We have Leroy Travers, director of the charter school office, here this evening to provide updates on the work in the charter school office. Mr. Travers, any updates to share?
Well, I provided my report last week. I'd first just like to say a couple of things in addition to that. First off, what a wonderful presentation that was. Thank you so much for sharing. That was amazing, Shelby. Second, I do want to say a quick thank you to Dr. Ladhavia for joining us last week on our school visit to Early College School. I know the school appreciated your time, and I certainly did. And also a thank you for following up with Positive Outcomes. And I assume you're going to speak about that a bit later, so I won't say much more there. And just one more quick follow-up to the report that I submitted. I do just want to point out that there is an opportunity for you as a board or any public that is listening to participate with our wonderful Charter School of Wilmington students who are in a national contest with an amazing, amazing product that you can go and vote for by following the link that I provided. So with that, I am ready for questions.
Any questions from the board or Mr. Travers?
I have none for you.
Anyone else? Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Travers. We'd also like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to participate in the school visits. We've enjoyed the visits so far this year, and so we will continue to share the calendar, and you'll probably see us at more of your schools.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next on the agenda is regulations. And so we first go to the Delaware Department of Education regulations for discussion or action. At this point, we'd like to welcome Juliette Morawski, Director of Higher Education Office, and she's here to review the three regulations for action. Ms. Morawski, please.
Hi, good afternoon, good evening, and thank you. So last month I presented to you for information regulations 1211, 1216, or 1216 and 1217. I'm here before you this evening for action of those regulations. Just to note, we will be updating in the very near future to clarify the need portion of these regulations, but there were no comments received. So I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Does the board have any questions?
Can I just clarify what I was just saying? So, Julie, correct me if I'm wrong. We're just going to add under the eligibility part that the student needs to demonstrate need because, in fact, it is an eligibility requirement.
That is correct, yes.
Yep.
Okay. No further questions? If there are no further questions, then I'll entertain a motion regarding regulations 1211, 1216, and 1217.
Griffin, I move the approval of 12-11, 12-16, and 12-17 as presented.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Simmons, second.
Hearing a second, any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? The motion carries. All right, so thank you very much and have a good evening.
Thank you so much. You as well.
All right, next on the agenda is the Professional Standards Board Regulations for Discussion or Action. Dr. Linnea Bradshaw, Executive Director of the Professional Standards Board, will review two regulations for action and then present one for information. Dr. Bradshaw?
Thank you. Excuse me, I don't have much of a voice tonight. Thank you very much. I'll start with Regulation 1571, Special Education Teacher of Students with Disabilities. This regulation was published in February and or March, I believe. On April 3, we received one comment, and the comment had several questions, and the questions were whether or not the regulation had taken into consideration all routes to certification. And the answer is yes, and that's why it's written into the certification regulation that it would actually apply to all of the routes. That's why we didn't leave it up to simply an approved program, but we put it inside the regulation. And also because of the way that it's written is that they do need to take something. They could have taken it in part of a previous degree or anything like that. So they do not need to take redundant coursework. And and we really do feel that the programs that lead to dual certification have been properly vetted by the department as being aligned to the science of reading. Are there any questions?
Questions for the board on 1571? All right, hearing no further questions, I'll entertain a motion regarding Regulation 1571.
Latanya, so moved. To approve Regulation 1571.
All right, we have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Reverend Powell, second.
We have a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? The motion carries. All right, moving on to Regulation 1573.
Regulation 1573 was also published on March 1st. The board, we did receive one written submittal from the Governor's Council for Exceptional Citizens. And they do support the amendments, but they urge us to make sure that when considering professional development for this regulation, that students with these disabilities have very specific literacy needs. And so the professional development or coursework for that would need to be approved for that purpose. In the future, this requirement doesn't go into effect for 2 years. And so we will be keeping that in mind as we approve the coursework and professional development. Thank you.
All right, are there any questions regarding Regulation 1573? Hearing no further questions, I'll entertain a motion regarding Regulation 1573.
Reverend Powell, I move that Regulation 1573 be approved.
Having a motion, is there a second?
I'm having a second.
Hearing a second, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion has been carried. Then we move on to Regulation 1594 for information.
Regulation 1594 was published on April 1st. It is a minimal, this one was done recently. This is a minimal change. We realized, and it might have been actually the State Board of Education, realized that 4.1.3.1 was unclear. And so we decided to amend that and actually split it and create a new 4.1.3.2. And then amended some language in 4.1.3.4 just to clarify those roles, because we do recognize that many districts call their special education coordinators different titles. Are there any questions about that? It's minimal, but it's significant enough to do a revision.
Question from the board on regulation 1594.
This is Reverend Powell. Any public comments regarding this regulation?
There have not been any published public comments yet. The public comment period lasts until May 1st, and so we could still receive public comments.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, have a good evening, Dr. Bradshaw, and I hope you feel better soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next on the agenda is public comment on regulations. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for public comment on regulations. Ms. Smith, do we have anyone signed up for public comment on regulations?
No, ma'am, not at this time.
All right. Hearing none, we will move on to the next
item. I'm asking for one of the regulations. Okay, signed up. I called you. We have time for general public comment toward the end of the meeting. This is specifically on regulation.
It was regarding autism. I just wanted to know.
Oh, ma'am, could you please state your name for the record?
Absolutely.
We will have 2 minutes on the clock.
It's not even 2 minutes. It's a good question.
I'm Terry Mapp, human rights,
civil rights. It's regarding the autism, and I just wanted to know if all the other disabilities were fully considered. If it's just autism, one that's a student with autism, with severe autism. Everything was just specific to autism. I just wanted, I didn't even look at the regulation. I was just listening, and all I heard was autism. So I just wanted to know if all the other disabilities were considered.
Just as a point of order in terms of the state board meetings, please note that the board typically will not respond to questions or engage in a dialogue during public comment on those regulations. And so we will not be able to offer any comments during this board meeting. All right, moving on to state board business and committee and meeting reports. There was an opportunity for members to provide information and written reports made available on the board on any events or committee meetings attended since the last meeting. If anyone like to share anything for us.
I did not submit a report, but I was, beckoned to attend the principal forum, 10-day forums for two schools in the city of Wilmington, the Byard School and Christian Academy. They are down to 3 final candidates. Their forum was on Monday. And then they were making the six. So the next steps are that the WLC executive director will take a recommendation for 2 of those 3 will be named to those 2 buildings. If so, they so choose. Has to be approved by the Wilmington Learning Collaborations Council. And then that recommendation will go to Christina's school board. Christina's charged with accepting unless there's an egregious. Something egregious that they would disagree with. At the same time, there was a scheduled conflict because without knowing that date,
they are down to the final three candidates for their superintendent as well. So what they've done differently for their superintendent, their superintendent's vacancy, is each candidate, they're down to three, has a day. So he's been an entire day. They moved one from Monday because of the double booking, for lack of a better word, with the principal candidate. So one was last night, one is tonight, which I'm missing, and then the third one is on Monday. Their timeline is to, for their board to have a special session to name a person and vote on them on April 17th. There are hopes that whoever is their selected candidate, depending on who it is and their job availability, will be able to come and work in May, in June, so that they can have some time before their official start date of July 1, and so the rest is to be determined.
Anyone else with a report or something that they'd like to
have? I have a quick report. I have a lot, but I'm not going to go bring up. As you all know, the equalization funding meeting, that he still continues to meet. The report from the consulting group is actually in draft form, so we are not allowed to, it's not for public distribution yet, but I will let you know that the committee has recommended that the funding formula be frozen until 2026, given that we're working on a new formula. And these recommendations have been submitted to the General Assembly and PEFC, the Public Education Funding Commission. Stay tuned for that. Deb and I attended the Women in the Delaware Education Conference. I found it very insightful, inspiring, and motivating. We had phenomenal keynote speaker, Annette Norman, Secretary Martin, also shared a very moving personal narrative. And to me, it reflected her values and beliefs at her having her vision. And as Leroy Travers said, I toured the early college school with him, which was very eye-opening for me. Evelyn Edney, Dr. Edney, spent a long time with me, showed me the middle school, the high school, shared with me. One thing that I took away from there is she created a rubric to help her identify students in different stages, and she has patented that rubric, and it is phenomenal. And just to circle back and connect to the Women Leading Delaware Education Conference, the speaker spoke about being a boldly inclusive leader, and I really feel that that is Dr. Edmund. She's phenomenal. I'm going to defer to Kathleen on the House Education Committee. The other thing I did was I did follow up and go to the Positive Outcomes Charter School. And mostly Leroy Travers encouraged me to go because it's uniquely different from early college school, which in fact I see why. This school has students that are either referred to them by other schools or their legacy children, meaning their family has some connection to the school already. Academically, as you all may or may not know, they're generally below proficiency and they require strong comprehensive supports. So when I asked the school, what's your definition of success for this particular population of students? It's not what you would typically think. Their definition of success is to make sure these kids assimilate into the real world, right? However it is, it's a different definition of success for every student. And I really want to share with you an example of one of their successes, but I'm going to refrain from doing so because just as they explained to me, it's a small school, so I don't want to give any personal information that may identify a student that's there. So just know there are many successes at the school. They're also considering expanding. He gave me a tour through their school, and it is tiny, but they do a lot of stuff in that little space that they have. Something that I found interesting at Positive Outcomes is that they have this unique relationship with Caesar Rodney. So Caesar Rodney actually provides them with breakfast and lunch every day. So they bring over breakfast and lunch, help serve, set up, all that kind of stuff. And CR provides bus transportation for those students that live in the CR district. So the bus picks them all up, they get dropped off at CR in the morning, and then a shuttle is waiting for them there to bring them to Positive Outcomes. I do want to tell you that their biggest challenge is probably, like most schools, is parent engagement. They have a spotlight on success. Two more things I want to share with you. At the National Career Development Conference last year, they had students in a class called Jobs for Delaware Graduates, and these students from Positive Outcomes represented Delaware. They made a clean sweep and won first place in all the categories in their division. So to me, much like Shelby, this is about a teacher that believes in their students and knows that these students can do it. Hold them to a higher standard, support them in where they are. So she really did a lot to support these students, and it was evident in their wins. The only concern that I maybe had about Positive Outcomes is they collect a lot of data on a lot of different indicators. One thing when I asked, well, what do you do with this data, is their response is they don't have the time, but maybe somewhat they're not sure what to do with the data or how to synthesize that data. So they do acknowledge that they need to use the data, not just collect it. And I think it's an effort and it will be a priority for them. And then I did give them some different resources for doing that. That's all I have. I want to say, I want to encourage my fellow colleagues to go for both these schools. I think they're amazing.
Thank you. Just to add briefly from my report, I also, as Nisha indicated, had attended the Women Leading Delaware Education Conference and was deeply moved by the keynote speakers. They were truly outstanding. The breakout sessions were inspirational as well. One thing that surprised me, being a past teacher, I do remember Scholastic regularly coming to my elementary school for the book fairs that they would routinely hold. What I didn't know was that Scholastic also does professional development. And they were there that day to offer a professional development session on how to overcome chronic absenteeism, which is a problem that even post-epidemic we are still struggling with. And their focus was on community engagement. And they provided the leaders that were in attendance at that meeting with some really concrete strategies on how to build the community engagement and utilize that community engagement to help students re-engage with their schools. And so, you know, seeing workshops like that and seeing the response from the administrators and the teachers that attended that conference told me that it's convenings like this that really do help you with bringing those strategies back to your schools and hopefully seeing some success. I'll tell you, it was also, as Nisha remarked, inspiring to hear our new Secretary of Ed and her journey to where she is currently. And just most inspiring, also getting to hear from our new governor's wife. I did not know she was a doctor. And so her panel dealt with the topic, the juggle is real for women, how to juggle an occupation as well as dealing with your family and dealing with your personal life and thriving, which was the whole focus of that conference. How can we as women thrive? And so, again, giving some concrete suggestions of how to maintain that balance. And really was a very, very worthwhile day-long conference over at Clayton Hall. NASB, the National Association of State Boards of Ed, has been very, very busy this month. On the 7th, we had the monthly member exchange meeting where representatives from each of the regions, Delaware being part of the Northeast region, got together to talk about what issues were of concern in our states. And if you were here earlier for Secretary Martin's comments, she addressed some of the topics that were identified in that meeting for our particular region being the federal that executive order initiatives coming out of Washington, D.C., and what those impacts will be on funding for our schools and for the way our schools operate and whether we'll be losing any programs as such. And so, you know, clearly from Secretary Martin's comments, you've heard where Delaware is at this point, what we may stand to lose in terms of ESSER funds being pulled back by the federal government. But it is a discussion that is going to be ongoing. And in fact, NASB will be having another meeting scheduled for April 24th. So if any of my colleagues on the state board would like to sit in on that meeting, our executive director can send you the link and the time for that meeting. Yesterday, we also had two other meetings with NASB. If you recall, the presentation at last month's meeting regarding the leadership tool that Dr. Saylor and Brandy Fox had used to look at our school leadership pipeline, NASB was extremely, extremely appreciative of the responses that Delaware had sent in. And so they engaged Executive Director Smith and I yesterday in some questions in terms of impact, and has looked to us to potentially present at the NASB conference in October to discuss the completion of the tool, what the value of the tool is, how the tool guide both state board in terms of policy, but department as well in terms of action of furthering the leadership pipeline and working on any areas that need strengthening. So that it was very rewarding for us to hear from NASB and how appreciative they were. And then finally, there was a third meeting yesterday afternoon of the Early Childhood Education Group, which Delaware is one of those states that's participating with, I think we're up to what, 15 states that are part of these meetings. And so we meet regularly to hear from one another as to what's going on in the early childhood education field. Delaware, over the past 3 years, has been highly focused on literacy for pre-K to three, and Executive Director Smith and I serve on the pre-K to three advisory committee for literacy. So we regularly review the literacy plan and hear regular updates as to how the department is progressing with the implementation of their plan, with the final implementation year coming in 2027-2028. So good movement is being made on those plans. And so they got to hear from us, and we got to hear from the other 15 states. We'll be attending a conference June 2nd and 3rd in Washington, D.C. And so hopefully we'll be coming back with some more ideas from the other states as to what they're working on. And we will be sharing, again, the progress that we've made. So that's it for my reports. Anything else to be said around reports from the board? Sage?
Sure. So recently I had the experience of attending the Vision Coalition 2035 event. I was privileged to be a speaker for our student panel. I had the opportunity to speak on different issues regarding education, specifically issues of AI in classrooms, as well as, you know, early literacy, making sure that different languages are represented, et cetera. And it was a very beneficial experience. I was able to converse with different leaders in education across the state, specifically Reverend Myers and Secretary Martin. And yeah, I was able to also speak with other students, other like-minded student leaders across the state. Very experienced and patient, and overall, you know, very positive experience. So, I'm very happy to be part of that. Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about what you did this afternoon?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So, earlier today, we were able to converse with Polytech high school students and Polytech adult education students And we asked them different questions regarding, you know, their general educational experience and how they felt on different issues regarding, you know, how student voices are represented in, you know, the overall administration of the school. And the responses were overwhelmingly positive. Every student felt like their voice was very, you know, adequately represented, and that they had they had more than enough opportunities to, you know, discuss the issues that they felt were important with school administrators. And I think that's very, you know, very well done by Polytech as a whole, that, you know, student voice in administration and, like, running a school is incredibly important. And just the topic students are, you know, what makes a school run. So it's, you know, necessary that they are the voices of the change. So, and then for the adult education, Cesar Rodney doesn't have that kind of adult education program, so I wasn't really sure what to expect, but I was, you know, very impressed by the way that they conducted themselves and were able to, like, you know, I was very impressed about the building and told us about their experiences here with the Polytech program. There was one that drove from New York every day for this program, which, you know, that definitely shows a lot of dedication. You know, look at the impact. So, yeah, overall, it was a very great experience. I learned a lot, and I definitely look forward to learning more. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Question, Ms. Stevens. You had mentioned the workshop that you attended for community engagement, which was very beneficial. Can you give me information on who facilitated that? Or
it was a consultant from Scholastic.
Okay.
That facilitated that. So what I can do is I can contact, I know the woman who coordinated from the University of Delaware, and see if she would get some contact information for you.
That would be helpful. We're doing the same thing in South Bridge, Wellington, with the community education, developing a strategy, a comprehensive strategy from a community-based perspective, maybe an engaging strategy. So I would appreciate that.
Yeah.
And then also I did attend virtually Division 35 and all stakeholders, and when I saw Sage up on the stage, I said, I knew that guy. He represented, well, trust me, he represented board. There was a lot of other students that were up there articulating, especially I learned a lot about AI and how you have to navigate between the positive research and the ability of the technology, but then navigate how it can be misused also. So I learned a lot about this. It's good.
Excellent. Any other questions? All right, then at this time, Ms. Smith, you will provide us with an update on your work to support board priorities since our last meeting.
Yeah, thank you. You have my written report, and I wanted to just highlight to please look for an email from me next week regarding input for your strategic planning meeting that will be held on May 22nd.
Any questions from the board?
Not a question, but I would like to comment and thank Kathleen Smith for her diligence and her reaching out, I guess, to extend the power, if you would, of the State Board of Education. Have the power to convene, then the power to question. And she's been convening a lot of stakeholders for us at the grassroots level to get up-to-date data and research, which is very difficult from a geographic perspective. We are conducting a meeting soon with Department of Education. We conducted it with the Wilmington Learning Collaborative, Department of Education, and the State Board. And we really are on a good path of being to develop this strategy for the South Richmond to get the demographic information. It's very typical when you have a lot of LEAs in a community, and you don't get data from that perspective. You've got to get it from the schools. And so as we launch to get baseline data, efficiencies and absenteeism, Kathleen has been very helpful, and I appreciate it.
Any other questions? All right. Hearing none, we'll move into legislative updates. During the legislative session, we have this item on our agenda to give board members an opportunity to ask questions or raise discussion about education-related bills. Chief of Staff Lisa Henry provided information, which is posted on eBoard. If there are any questions or comments from board members, please send those in an email to Ms. Smith. Moving on to Regulation 1596, Discussion for Action. Regulation 1596 was before the State Board of Education and did not pass at the March 20th, 2025 regular meeting. The State Board of Education is appreciative of the work of the Professional Standards Board Executive Director, Dr. Linnea Bradshaw, the input from several stakeholders, and for all of the thoughtful discussion by the PSB regarding Regulation 1596 over the years. The State Board of Education welcomes this opportunity to provide feedback outside of its regular monthly meetings. Outlined in the letter that was provided to you is the position of the State Board of Education and the reasoning behind the rejection of Regulation 1596 as presented and voted on at the March 2025 meeting. Our hope is that this information will aid the Professional Standards Board and the associated stakeholders in editing this regulation. President Birmingham has also directed Ms. Smith to convene a meeting of associated stakeholders to collaborate on a path forward. So you did have a copy of the letter in your folders, and it was also sent to you. Are there any more questions or areas of discussion from board members regarding this letter? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion regarding the letter from the State Board of Education to the Professional Standards Board.
Griffin, I move that we approve the letter and forward it to the PSB.
A motion has been made to approve the letter and move it forward to the Professional Standards Board. Do we have a second?
Yes.
We have a first and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Question. So I believe this is a great approach to qualifying, I guess, discussion that we've had. And my question is, does this set a precedent for us to address further regulations in the future, or how does that position us? I think this is a good thing to do, but does this set a precedent for us to address other regulations that did not pass State Board of Education?
We do have Doug Corbin online. If let's see.
So to answer your question, Reverend Powell, I don't think it necessarily creates a precedent. As you saw, like each time the board would make a decision to respond to the body responsible for drafting a given regulation before the State Board of Education, the State Board of Education always has it within their authority to submit additional information if the board so chooses through a vote at a public meeting. But it is fully within the purview of the board in terms of how they choose to respond to a given regulation and the type of information they want to provide to the body that's responsible for drafting the regulation. So in short, I don't think it creates a precedent other than just an example of the State Board of Education using the power that it has to inform regulatory progress.
Are there any other questions or further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the letter and sending it forward to the Professional Standards Board, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? The motion carries. All right, the next item on the agenda is formal public comment. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for general public comment. Ms. Smith, is there anyone signed up to provide public comment?
Yes, we have several.
All right. So we will hear from the speakers from the sign-up sheet who are present in the meeting room in person first. Then we will recognize speakers logged in via the URL in the order that they have signed up in the chat box. Comments should be limited to 2 minutes for individuals and 3 minutes for organizations. As a reminder, the board typically will not respond to questions or engage in a dialogue with those offering comments during the board meeting. So who do we have first?
First, we have Leslie DePasquale.
Yes. Thank you. I have a long comment, Nick, but I'm only going to make it short. This has to do with more of the regulations. I know that Tammy kind of hit on it with, here, like, I have a special needs child that is, I feel, is being underserved. You guys are allotted like $36,000 per child with an IEP, and yet what services are being provided? Because I can't even get that answer at my district level. And he's failing classes. So that's one of those, it's, it fails. And then when I finally reach out on like 3 or 4 attempts, I get answered and then it helps to bring a grade back up. It's more of an implementation. What is being done on your guys' level to assist our children with special needs? And then the concerning thing I noticed is his benchmark scores for ELA and mathematics are extremely low. And again, back to that services render, but not. It's just something that I want maybe to bring to your guys. I'm sure you guys are aware of all of this with the grants that are being given, and now that we're having a whole bunch of help back. So then now we're at a loss. I just wanted to bring that theme to your guys, is that administration is not giving us answers on our school levels. Not, or it's a, oh, well, we have to hire somebody else. We'll house that issue if you're having parents tell you something's not right and you're not doing anything about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Tammy Matt.
I'm going to let her go first. I'll go last. I have to go ahead.
Liam, if you would introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Shadi Kusala. I think I've actually made it talk to a coach by already now. Over the past few weeks. I'm here today. I think right now I'm doing something that I wanted to discuss with you guys as far as certain situations as well as me. So I'm a little nervous that I'm close to it, but I'm sure it's okay. So I hope to start off by saying I'm speaking today under my first amendment right to petition my government about matters of public concern. I'm addressing official conduct related to the performance of public students. And my name is Shaquan Miles. I'm here today as an advocate for families and students who have been mistreated, neglected, and failed by the very system that is supposed to protect and support them. I speak not only as an advocate, but as a mother who has personally experienced the devastating impact of mishandling, abuse of authority, and violations of basic human and civil rights within the school system. My child has suffered mistreatment at the hands of school staff, including breaches of privacy, emotional harm, and utter disregard for her well-being. And sadly, this is just the beginning. I've supported other families as well, families who have children who are being bullied, humiliated, targeted by the very people entrusted to guide and educate them. These children walk into schools afraid and unsupported, and when their parents speak up, they're often ignored and met with retaliation. I've also seen cases where serious allegations, like sexual harassment, have been mishandled and swept under the rug with no accountability, no proper responses under Title IX. These failures don't just harm students in the moment, they create lasting trauma. And any trust that families have in the system, done. Even school safety personnel have crossed the lines in ways that I'm not going to speak of right now. This is bigger than one classroom or one incident. It is a systematic issue. It needs to stop. I'm calling for accountability, transparency, and real reform within the district. Our children deserve to feel safe, respected, and heard every single day. Anything less is unacceptable. Sincerely, Ms. Shaniqua Miles, Title IX Coordinator, Certified in Federal Compliance and Procedures, Educational Behavior Advocate, Non-Attorney, Family Rights Activist, Member of the NAACP, Member of COPAA, Council of Parents, Attorneys, and Advocates. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Next, we have
Is it Richardson Tanara?
Yeah. Thank you. This is my first State Board of Education meeting. And what I want to say, Ms. Horst is a real deal. I worked with her 1 year that I was at Penn, so she's not pretending. She really has that passion, and that was 2016. So she's amazing, and that's for all students, which is really rare to see. So I was a legislator tomorrow. I do some special ed advocacy. I run parents' special education advisory council. One of the things, I don't know where to start, so maybe afterwards somebody can point in the right direction, try to get 3125 change, which tells school districts that they'll have these parent councils, which in intent was intended to be led by parents. However, school districts are doing it themselves, which I think is creating a barrier to some of the parental engagement that we want to see with these parent councils around students with disabilities. I'm working with two school districts to build these councils in hopes that we can build them in a way that actually brings a parent voice to the table and decisions being made for students with disabilities. So any help with that, I know not right now, we'd be greatly appreciated. That's the last big thing on community engagement. I work with one school district on trying to build parent engagement because we know student outcomes improve when parents are engaged. And without it, we're going to keep failing. Because there's no way that the system can educate our children without the communities and parent support. So anything that I can be playing into to help me create more effective strategies to engage parents in my community would be appreciated. And lastly, the one thing I am a little concerned about, I do have a student here, a colleague, and these are some amazing people, really amazing people. But students with disabilities were not represented here today at all. And they are a part of this whole community. And I understand that as a charter who used to be selected, they're not very well versed in educating or serving students with disabilities. They need help there. And I'm not saying that from a critical perspective because the principal, the director in the district, they are amazing people I have a wonderful relationship with. But I'll tell you, they're failing our students with disabilities every day. Thank you.
This is my first date work also. I wrote something. Good evening all. My name is Tammy Mack. I am a human rights, civil rights, and educational advocate. I advocate for students on the federal and state level. We have a grave concern here in Delaware. When parents advocate for their special needs students, they're subsequently retaliated against by their school administration. For example, a child was allegedly sexually assaulted on the school bus. When the mom reported it to the police, she's also worked in the district, she was terminated within 48 hours. The parents issue a complaint to the school board, though they are directed to file a state complaint. The state complaint responds and specifies that retaliatory action is not in their purview. Consequently, they defer the parent to file a complaint with the OCR, which is the Office of Civil Rights. Currently, the OCR unit that handles these complaints has been substantially reduced. Thus, it's recommended the parents to reach out to the governor for assistance instead. So the OCR is on the federal level. So we have the board sending the parents to the state. When the state investigated, then they're saying, go to OCR. In the interim, students continue to not receive services, and the parents have no viable recourse to address the retaliatory actions. My objective is to have the issue addressed and resolved so that parents and students don't continue to get the runaround and be subjected to adverse treatment. While our state and federal administration determines next step, in addition, I'm requesting that regulation and statutes are formulated to combat retaliatory action against parents, teachers, and students.
Next, we have Lorraine Sneed.
Yes, good evening. I first of all want to introduce myself. This is my first State Board of Education meeting as well. I am a longtime educator here in Delaware. I started teaching at Howard High School in environmental technology. I taught at the Charter School of Wilmington and Wilmington Friends. Primarily taught chemistry and physics. So as a STEM teacher, and I will always be an educator, I am concerned about the state of science and math in Delaware schools. I want to think that the state could start looking at some of our community organizations to help out. I have launched a consulting company, LPC Consulting, to do professional coaching and learning for teachers, right, to build capacity in K-12 so that we can improve our math education and science education here in Delaware. There are other community organizations that are right here in the state that do not have the, I guess they're just not really well known to actually start professional development. A lot of times the districts look outside of the state for professional development. And so I would hope that we would start looking at some of our community organizations as well. I also have a concern about state testing, as well as the national testing and the ranking for where Delaware is. And I don't think that is something that's insurmountable. I think we can do something about that. And I, for one, as a educator in the state, love to help service to do that. So I'm hoping that that will be a topic, right, of conversation for us as we move forward. And so I just want to thank you for your service and thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you.
Next, we have Kendall Massett from the Delaware Charter Schools Network.
I'm going to sit in. Shout out to Kevin Dickerson. Like, this is the most number of parents I've ever seen in a state board meeting, right? Like, huge shout out to all of you for coming to hear the voice. So, good evening, Kevin Massett, Executive Director of the Delaware Charter Schools Network. First, as the letter that you just referenced was not on the public site prior to the meeting, we have no information to make any comments. I hope that the letter recognizes the incredible public input and comments that our community provided. I hope that this letter says that you are actually willing to work with our community and understand our position. But again, since I still haven't seen the letter, I actually provided a little bit of comments. That said, I have two other comments. Thank you, Ms. Lahadia, for your time, your report, and your time at both Early College on Positive Outcomes. Both are amazing stories. I know both Evelyn and Ed would be okay with me inviting every member here to come to graduation. Their graduations are amazing, but specifically, the Positive Outcomes graduation is, it's just good for your heart. At everyone, there's at least one student that says that without the school, they would not be here today. And they may be here on this side. Both of these schools, along with our other 22 charter schools, are making an impact in the lives of all good students.
Now, I'm going to do more sober comment. I expect that you have heard about this by now, but today we had an incident at Spirit Charter High School involving the accidental discharge of a firearm by a school employee. Thankfully, all students are safe and were reunited with their families.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our Delaware Department of Education, our Delaware State Police, and the Delaware Emergency Management Agency for their partnership and support today. In moments like these, when schools are navigating very difficult and unexpected situations, it very much means a lot to know that we have a team at our department and our other state department, our state partners, who are responsive, collaborative, and focused on helping us prioritize the safety and well-being of our students and staff. We are incredibly grateful to the ASPERA team, our public safety partners, and the department for their continued support of our schools and communities.
Thank you.
Vice President Stevens, we have Crystal Johns online. So, Crystal, I'm going to go ahead and ask that you unmute, and we'll check your sound.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you. Would you please say your name?
Crystal Johns.
Thank you. We'll give you 2 minutes.
Hi. I just wanted to speak on the RISE program in the home district of Appokornimik. I personally have had some trouble with the RISE program is their autism program. And there's been like a lack of support for providers and family, well, staff and family. I have a group of moms in the district, and the more we kind of talk, the more we see we're all having a lot of the same problems. I have a couple friends that took their kid out of the district because they were unable to be appropriately supported. I have another friend just today was telling me she wants to homeschool her son because she has concerns for safety at school and she would rather do it at home, although she has no training and really no idea how to go about it. But that's how concerned she is about her son being at school. So I wanted to see, like, how is this going to be addressed going forward in terms of keeping our kids safe, getting them the appropriate support they need, getting the teachers appropriate support they need. There's not enough behavioral staff at all, and that seems to be one of the biggest problems. And there's not enough staff in the classroom, appropriately trained teachers, BCBAs, paras, really all of it. There shouldn't be cases in really any class, but special education where there's no actual teacher, certified teacher in the classroom. And that is, you know, and that does happen. So I wanted to speak and see like how we can get this addressed as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else?
No, we don't have anyone else signed up online or in the room.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. All right, so just to announce, our next meeting is scheduled for May 15th, and we'll be at the Woodbridge School District. The particular building will be identified later. We are now ready for adjournment, so I will now entertain a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting.
Sorry, I'm going to make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? Motion and second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? So, all right. Thank you, everyone, and safe travels back home.
Thank you.
And thank all of you who attended this evening. Thank you for spending the